Towards the end of the 18th century, a German called Heinrich Hertz, a really beautiful gentleman, in Germany and Switzerland, I don't think he's, did he work in Bonn? I just can't remember. He did perform beautiful experiments to build an electric circuit which produced electromagnetic waves, and then with that, he proved that those waves were behave the same as light waves. And so this is a time, this is really the first radio transmitters, so there weren't radio transmitters and radio receivers as we know it. He had to actually build them and know what wavelength that they're produced at. This is Peter Hill Explains, where I discuss things scientific or have a conversation with you, and this we're doing question 2017 of the 2015 high school certificate exam. And what I'm going to do is just read it to you, and then I'm going to try and answer it off the top of my head without a pre-lecture first. Because, when you do a little thing like this, it's really good. In 18th, here goes the question for 6 marks, and there's easily 15 or 20 lines of writing for you to fit underneath for it. So that's 20 lines, a sentence for 2 lines, 10 sentences. You've got to get 6 marks and 10 sentences. Okay, in 1865, James Clerk Maxwell developed the theory of electromagnetism. This theory explained the nature of light. It also predicted the existence of other electromagnetic waves. The question is, how did Hertz test and validate Maxwell's theory? Okay, so it's how did he test it and how did he validate it? Heinrich Hertz tested the theory by producing a device which generated electromagnetic waves, and then those electromagnetic waves were transformed or went through various optical analog instruments, and then they were detected. And this formed the basis of a theoretical an experiment which would be theoretically explained by Maxwell's experiment. The production of it was a LC RF induced oscillator with a interrupter coil which produced momentarily high voltage due to a collapse in the magnetic field, which created a high voltage spike, which then charged the upper capacitor and inductor. And as this capacitor inductor reached a high voltage, it created a spark gap which allowed the electrons to flow from the top conductor and capacitor down to the bottom one. And the actual momentum or the mass effect of the inductor allowed the energy to transfer through, understanding that a capacitor acts as a spring and an inductor acts as a mass. So it was like passing it back and forth. So this created a resonator. He understood the LC nature of it, and therefore could calculate the frequency of it because it was therefore understood. So the spark did not generate the EM wave, it was the actual ball and capacitor plates, the capacitor plates of it. And this generated a wave of a known frequency. This wave was then checked for the following effects. So he put a polarizer in front of it, and was able to check the effects of polarization. He was able to check the effects of refraction and a Lloyd's mirror effect, which did identified various properties of waves. I'm drawing all of these things here. He then arranged a system which hitherto has not been able to be repeated in modern times. He had two balls which were held on a wooden cross with a inductive spring connecting the two balls in a circle. It's unclear that the actual spring in a circle has very much to do with the actual pickup of it. He was able to then adjust the balls on these springs towards each other with a little micrometer to push them across. So in sheer darkness, he would be able to see a very small spike, because a millimeter a small electric field is sufficient to cause breakdown, so he could see a little spike. So this created an LC circuit. Now it's rather interesting that the capacitance of this circuit is determined by the gap, as much the gap as anything. So reducing the gap gives the capacitance given by the formula, the area of the spheres over this separation. So by removing the separation, or the actual circle was a spring of wire, so it actually had a high inductance. This is not So the millimeter gap was just a very small spark, which was very hard to actually see. But he was able to hold this, and with a series of parallel wires acted as a electromagnetic polarizer. He was able to look at it with the Lloyd's mirror. So that's how he did the test, and that's how he tested it. But the validation of the theory was when he found that the interference pattern corresponded to a wavelength which was related to C equals F lambda. So he could actually physically measure the lambda by putting the balls in without. He was able to actually see that it had other properties of light by reflecting the parabolic mirrors, or being diffracted by a pitch block which had a different refractive index at these lower wavelengths, which were not the wavelengths of light, but so this validated the speed and nature of light from the formula here, but it also validated his prediction that other electromagnetic waves could be produced by, say, in this instance, a circuit. Okay, that's my go at answering it. Let's go and see what they say. Describe how Hertz performed the experiments to test Maxwell's prediction. I may have done that. Describe how Hertz validated the theory for 6 marks. And you get a variation here. Here's a sample answer. Hertz performed a series of experiments that were designed to demonstrate, one, the existence of invisible electromagnetic waves. The invisible waves behaved like visible light. These waves traveled at the speed of light. I really didn't have that nice and clearly up there. His basic design was using a high voltage source to produce a spark. What? His basic design involved using a high voltage source to produce a spark. Well, you need the capacitors in the end. The detector formed a loop of copper wire with a small gap. Well, no, it wasn't. I don't think it was copper. And so these are balls. He hasn't actually described it well. Radio waves produced by the spark were detected when a tiny spark was induced across the gap detector. Further experiments by reflecting surfaces of other apparatus showed the radio waves can be reflected and refracted, behaviors consistent with visible light. Modification of the basic design allowed determination of velocity of radio waves. I don't know whether he did the velocity of waves. He related, he knew the frequency and he measured the wavelength. I don't think he went into the velocity. Okay, using an interference pattern to determine their wavelength. So he did the wavelength and he knew the frequency. Since the frequency was determined by the high voltage source, no, it was determined by the antenna. The wave equation F equals V lambda could be used. The value obtained the speed of light. This experiment therefore provided substantial experimental evidence supporting the predictions made by Maxwell, thus validating the theory. Okay, that's a different way of saying it. Okay, thanks for listening, and this is a mercifully short Peter Hill Explains.